Welcome back to Out of Chicago. This week we're talking hybrid photography with rock star photographer Julio Shorio. Well, welcome back. This is the Out of Chicago podcast. I am your host, Chris Smith, and I know that we're kind of on again, off again, and I apologize. Lots going on, but guess what? Because the Out of Chicago conference has been announced and it's coming up soon, we are going to be putting out a lot of podcasts. We are going to be interviewing. I'm going to be interviewing. I'm going to try and do everyone that is presenting at the conference, and we are going to start with a great one. It's Julio Shorio. It's a long interview. We're going to get right into it. We're going to talk hybrid photography, and here it is, Julio Shorio. All right, we are here with Julio Shorio, and this guy is amazing, and I was just asking him, you know, how should I introduce you? And he said, you know what? I can do it. I'm really good at it. So, Julio, tell us all about yourself.
Okay. So I'm Julio Shorio. My friends call me G for short, because that's my first initial. But anyways, I've been shooting for 10 years full-time. I'm in my 10th year of business. This is my 10th anniversary. I'm super, super grateful and excited that I've lasted this long, because, man, it's been a roller coaster. But I started shooting on March 25th, 2005. That is when I left corporate America. I said, I am going to go be a photographer. I just can't help but shoot all the time and create. I love it. I sold everything I owned and moved. I was on a time at Phoenix, moved to downtown Phoenix, and fell flat on my face. So, yeah, financially. I was actually on welfare for the first 2 years of my business. It sucked. And I got into food photography, not necessarily because I wanted to shoot food, but because for editorial reasons, there's not usually budget for a food stylist, and therefore I could eat the food that I was photographing. You know, unless you're a zombie, you ain't doing that with a model, right? Yeah. And so that's kind of how I survived for the first 2 years of my business. Meanwhile, I was marketing like crazy, almost like a workout schedule. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, sending emails. Tuesday, Thursday, sending, doing cold calls. And then the next week, Tuesday, Thursday, emails. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, cold calls. Finally, one day, Village Voice Media called me back. Believe it or not, their headquarters is in Phoenix. And the art director, Jillian Dundas. Thank you very much, Jillian. I love this woman. Changed my life. She called me back, and or she either called me back or answered a phone. We got on the phone together. And she's like, Julio, she's like, I got all your emails. I got all your phone calls. Just come in. Let me see your work. And I was like, oh, this is amazing. So I got my little crappy portfolio at the time. And it was this tiny little plastic sleeved 8x10, a random mishmash of all sorts of stuff. Because I really didn't have truly a focused vision at the time. But I went on and showed it to her, and she saw something in me, in my work. And she went ahead and gave me a cover. And I shot a cover for Village Voice Media, and then I went on to shoot hundreds of covers for that organization and others, along with advertising since then. And that's how I got started shooting full time.
Yeah, but now you, now you're huge for one thing.
Thank you.
Yeah, and but you've totally changed. They say that in photography, you know, with any business, you got to change with the times, and you've done that better than anyone else. Tell us about what you're doing now.
So right now I specialize in what's called hybrid photography. And when I started working with this concept in photography, there wasn't even a market for it. Then the market right now is starting to grow to meet the art. But basically how I got into it was, so, you know, I pulled out of the depths of being broke, as I explained earlier. And 2007, I had an incredible year, had a beautiful studio. I lived right down the street from my studio, would bicycle to work. I had like this ideal life, right? 2008, I think it was January, I won like 6 Addies, which are like the Grammys, but for advertising.
Wow.
And then I'm like, great, my year is set. All they had to do is call people and be like, yo, I just won half a dozen Addies, hire me. You know, sure enough, the economy took a crap.
Yeah, we know what happened then, yes.
Uh-huh. Right, and it affected everybody, including, you know, and art is always the first thing to go, unfortunately. And so I didn't work for 6 months, like literally 6 months, without $1 of income coming in. There were just everybody, it was like the lights had turned off. And so here it is, you know, I think that was right around when the 5D Mark 2 came out and I was shooting Canon at the time. And I'm like, let me get this camera. It shoots video and now I can, and I know nothing about video. And I'm like, I could make my photos move. And so not really thinking about what goes into making video, which at the time was very complicated. I started trying to figure out how to make something that wasn't a short film, because I'm not a filmmaker, but something that wasn't a photo, somewhere in between. And I started developing it from there, and that differentiated myself immediately from other photographers, and it saved my butt. And then the more I got into it, the more I developed the craft, the quicker I got at it, the faster I got at it. And now today, like, I'm shooting this stuff faster than ever before. I'm only shooting hybrid for assignments, so I don't get called for anything else. And it's a ton of fun.
How do you define the hybrid? What does that mean to you?
So hybrid, you know, when we think of hybrid, you think of cars, or, you know, if you look at the actual, if you look in the, if you look in the dictionary, you see plants, but really a hybrid is the mesh of two or more things together. So hybrid photography is the blending of still motion and sound, and it is the blending of still motion and sound from the perspective of the photographer. And that is the key thing. We're not replacing photography. We're simply expanding upon photography. And the idea is this. Okay, on one end of the ecosystem right now, we have smartphones. And of course, we have monitors and TVs, but let's just stick to smartphones. There's hundreds of millions of smartphones in the market. Everyone's got one in their pocket for the most part. That's a huge market. The smartphone will display a still image. The smartphone will display video. It'll also record and broadcast sound. On the other end of the spectrum, the point of creation, I'm not talking about the fact that we can record all this stuff, say with an iPhone or Android, but on the other end of the spectrum, or the food chain here, we have the modern camera. Okay, and mirrorless especially is very good at this, which is capturing video, capturing stills, and capturing audio. So if we have the point where the artist does the creation that's designed for still motion and sound, which is the camera. On the other end, we got the delivery method, which is the smartphone, which is a point of consumption that is for still motion and sound. For me, it's just like, okay, well, that's like peanut butter and jelly. It just goes together, you know?
Yeah.
And it's worked out. It's really catching on, and it's amazing what people are doing.
Yeah, I want to ask you, like, what equipment you're using, what software you're using. I should probably say before that you are one of the originals. You are a Panasonic Lumix luminary, and part of that team. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I'm super proud to be on the Lumix Luminary team. I worked with other companies, and they were cool, but I have not had this kind of involvement and experience, this level of caring, as I've had since I started working with Panasonic. I mean, I meet with the people that designed the cameras, that designed the menus, that the person actually started Lumix within Panasonic. I meet with them at least twice a year. And they don't just meet with me, they meet with the rest of the team. They meet with the end users at camera stores, and they want to know, and they spend hours at these dealers and are like, okay, what do you guys want to see in the camera? And then sure enough, I met with them one time, and I'm like, I want a tiltable EVF. The GX7 comes out with a tiltable EVF. I mean,
it's all you, man.
It's not all me. I mean, it's partly me, but I mean, they really do listen. Now they can't do everything. They're not, for whatever reason, they can't do it all. And I wish they could, but they can't. But they are certainly listening to what people are saying, and they do read blogs like Small Camera, Big Picture, and they do read
which forums. Is your blog, right?
Uh-huh. Yes, which is my blog, mm-hmm. And that's how they found me. And they do read these blogs, and I'm just super honored. It's like the Super Friends, but for photography, I guess.
That's great. Yeah. I mean, it seems like it's kind of the opposite of something like Canon or Nikon, where it's like, even if you know someone there, they're like, well, I wouldn't know anyone that I could talk to that would actually make any difference in, you know, what came out in the future. It's like, that's pretty cool to be involved with something like that.
Yeah, it really is. And I think you know, Panasonic is hungry to make it happen, and they see the forest for the trees. They realize that there's screens everywhere. They also realize that they are one of the leading producers of screens, especially for digital billboards. Panasonic is number one in the world. So they're like, okay, well, we have these digital billboards and all these screens everywhere. We make all these screens, and then we make the cameras that can make content for the screen. So it's great, you know?
Yeah, and that's the part that I really liked what you said. You know, it's about the... Nowadays, it's not just a print cover or whatever it is. It's the screen. And so you don't want just a still. You can do so much more than that, like you said, and people can consume that in the devices they have. It only makes sense. So so what actual equipment are you using? You got the GH4, right?
I use a bunch of stuff, man.
Okay, tell us.
Yeah, so I use everything from the GM1, the GM5, those little baby cameras. Mm-hmm.
Those will all take those same lenses, though, right? They're all the Micro Four Thirds, right?
They do, but I even use cameras like the LX100, which I think is just rad. Mm-hmm. It is essentially the heart, that little thing's at the heart of a lion. It essentially has the same image pipeline as a GH4. It's got a tuned GX7 sensor that's tuned for 4K, and it has an amazing lens. So that's like my carry around camera, but I have shot an assignment with it, actually one of my biggest assignments, partly with the LX100. But my bread and butter camera is the GH4. It just don't get any better than that as far as shooting still motion and sound together. It just don't get any better. I mean, that's what in case people want to know, the H in the GH series is for hybrid.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. So that makes sense.
There you go. Right. Again, peanut butter and jelly. Right. You know?
Yeah, no, that's perfect. Now believe it or not, there are people that are out there right now that, well, I said this to someone the other day, I just got, oh my goodness, the new, I just opened it yesterday, the new iMac, the new Retina iMac. And right. I said to someone, you know, it's 5K resolution. And someone said, well, what's that? I said, well, you know, 4K. And they said, well, I don't know what 4K is. There's people listening right now. They don't know what 4K is when you said that. So tell us what do we mean by 4K and the GH4 and a lot of those other ones shoot it.
Well, it's like that cereal, but it's four boxes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Special K.
Sorry.
Special 4K.
So I can't actually say where the name 4K came from. I mean, I don't really care. I guess we can go online and wiki it. But essentially right now, video full HD is 2 megapixels per frame of video. Now, if you ask anybody, so, hey, you want to go shoot with a 2 megapixel still camera? They're going to look at you like you've lost right. your marbles.
Right.
They're going to be like, what? You know, you're going to check in at a hospital. But no one would shoot with a 2 megapixel camera, yet we all are when it comes to video. And really where things start to get really interesting with still images is once you get past the 5 megapixel mark. Especially around 8. Right around 8 to 10 megapixels is what 35 millimeter film is. And with 4K video, essentially we have 4 times the resolution of HD. We're looking at just over 8 megapixels per frame of video.
Yeah, it's amazing.
That's amazing. But it goes in more than that. So if you're doing 4K, say in like a GH4, LX100 or FZ1000, you're using the larger sensor, but you're also getting a lot of detail and data inside that frame of video. So, you know, it's instead of like having, I mean, yeah, you can do 4K even like there's apps on the iPhone that does 4K, but it really compresses the heck out of the data so it can squeeze it into the pipeline of the iPhone. Mm-hmm. But these bigger cameras,
you're getting really, it all.
You're getting it all, yeah.
So anyone that's like had a video on their computer or even just back in the old day of the VCRs, you know, you pause it and you're like, oh, wait a minute, I could just use like this as my still, right? But you're saying that like even back on the 5D Mark II or whatever, if you were to take that still out of the video, you're looking at like a 2 megapixel shot, and everything's totally changed now that we're looking at 4K. Is that the idea? Like it's actually possible now. Take it out and you've got a good shot.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, with a 2 megapixel image, I mean, and a crappy quality one, you know, you're not making really any prints. 8.5 megapixels. I mean, I've seen really good 16x20s from the GH4, and I've seen online that like Pro Photo Supply in Portland have done 60x40s. I think it was from the GH4.
From the video. Wow. Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy.
You know, it's, you know, and the thing is, folks, 4K, it's 4K now. It'll be 8K in about 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
In fact, at CES, Panasonic behind closed doors was showing prototype 8K
Wow.
So I don't know if
we won't tell anyone.
That,
we won't tell anyone that you didn't hear it here.
I'll take the heat. If I'm not supposed to say that.
No, that's great. So I love your stuff. I love the and I love the stuff that you put together where you've got a still, but then you've got the video with it. You're using. Tell us what you're using to create those. Where you put the two together?
Sure. So you're talking about animated portraits, where it's some people call them cinemagraphs, but a cinemagraph is kind of like where part of the video moves and part of it's still. I call them animated portraits because sometimes I'm moving the entire image. I'm just making a constant loop. So I started developing the technique for myself. I mean, I know other people have been doing similar stuff for years, but when I started doing this in 2009, I was using After Effects, what's now called Creative Cloud. And for the most part, I still use Creative Cloud. I mean, there's not a day goes by where I'm not opening something in Creative Cloud, whether I'm experimenting or I'm just working. But it really, that process, even with all the tools that make it easy in Creative Cloud, is still, you know, you're looking at a good couple hours by the time you start to finish. But it wasn't until I started using the app, at the time it was on iOS, called Flixel, which is like Pixel but with an F, Flixel, mm-hmm. Cinemagraph Pro. That I was like, this is, then I was like, all right, I was like, oh, like, I'm so glad that I've not been working for nothing. I'm like, finally, there's an app that's designed specifically for this type of hybrid photography. And that took my workflow. Oh gosh, I can do animated portraits down about 5 minutes in post.
Yeah, and we're going to talk more about that too. Well, here, let's talk about it right now. You're going to do that. Okay, you're going to be one of the presenters at the Out of Chicago conference this year, 2015. Mm-hmm. And that's your thing. You're doing a live hybrid photo shoot, and you're going to do it right in front of people and let them see exactly how you do it, the whole thing, right?
Yeah, 100%. I'm not holding anything back. this is not going to be a slideshow presentation. I'm not going to talk about theory. I'm just going to show you how I shoot. So just like if no one was even there in the audience, I'm just going to rock it out. Just like I shoot on an assignment. I'm going to do my best to narrate as I go along what I'm doing. And if possible, I'm going to be connecting the GH4 to a projector so we can see exactly what I'm seeing on the EVF. Mm-hmm. And on the LCD screen, so you can see exactly what I'm seeing. But we're going to rock this out. So I'm going to get a live model. We're going to shoot stills for print, stills for video. Then I'm going to take that, and also 4K video. I'm going to take that, and audio as well. I'm going to take this hybrid content, or this multimedia content, and create hybrid media. So I'm going to be making animated portraits using Flixel Cinemagraph Pro and Adobe Creative Cloud. And then I'm going to be making short form videos, like for YouTube and Facebook, say 30-second to 1.5-minute like fashion videos. And I'm also going to be making videos for Instagram. So all this within an hour.
Yeah, no, this is going to be great. I got to make sure I pop in there and see as much of that as I can. I love just like your headshot. It's an animated headshot. When I said, we're going to need your headshot, we're going to need all this other stuff for the conference, and you sent it over, and I didn't even think twice about it, and we put it in the thing, and I'm like, okay, I got it in WordPress, and I went to go preview it, and I'm like, Julio's moving.
What's
going on here? Yeah, he's alive. But that was really cool because the amount of personality you can express to somebody else in that, just the way that moves, it's so much different than the still photo. You agree with that? Yeah.
Yeah, of course. I mean, because, you know, I'm shooting at 30 frames a second or 60 or whatever it is. So I'm getting that much more impact on the viewer. So what my friends at Flixel had found in their testing, and they put hundreds of thousands of dollars into testing for this stuff, because that's their entire business. They found that online, viewer engagement for animated photography is 400 to 500% more than with just a still image.
Mm.
To the average person, we're kind of like, yeah, whatever, I'm just shooting for fun. But to an ad agency, to any place where you really need to get the viewer's attention, that's huge. That is so huge. Because typically what'll seal the deal in the ad world is if you're like, yeah, I can get 10% more engagement, like, ooh, that's 10%. But we're talking 400 to 500% more engagement for just doing a different style of photography. I mean, to me and to the ad people, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, and you might have thought a few years ago that like by now everyone would be doing that and then it would be no big deal, but it seems that people are not really catching on to the whole video as far as the photographers as fast as you would have thought, right?
Yeah, I mean, folks, what's the fear? What's the fear here, folks? It's not. I swear, I promise everybody that's listening, I promise to you, if you push the red button, it's not an ejector seat. It's not a laser beam. You're not going to get beamed or anything. It's just going to record the same thing that you see at 30 frames a second or 24, whatever you have the camera set to. And nothing will happen. And if it sucks, then you can delete it and you can try it again and again and again until you find something that works for you. But it isn't
as easy. I do remember like when the 5D Mark II came out, I remember everyone was saying, hey, I know composition. I got video. This is no problem. It's the same thing. But there's more to it. It's not just hit the button, wouldn't you say?
Depends on that. It's really dependent on the camera. I have to tell you.
All right.
Honest to God, man. Like I went through those pains with the 5D Mark II as well. I mean, especially with a DSLR, when you go from shooting video to shooting stills, you have all, when you go from stills to video, most of the time your autofocus isn't the same. You can't look through the viewfinder because you don't have an EVF. It's a whole different kind of camera, you know? So yeah, it can become more difficult when you're shooting video. With a mirrorless camera, it's significantly easier. And then if you go to something like the GH4, it's even more easy because that's designed to do that. But here's the thing. What I found is that a lot of photographers, when they're shooting video, they're not doing things like using a tripod. They're not doing things like letting the subject or the whatever's in front of the lens do the movement, or trying to get complicated and are trying to do these complicated movements. I see that when I'm teaching animated portraits. I'm like, let's keep it simple. Just a little bit of hair moving or an eye blink. And I'm like, all right, we're going to have you turn your head and then you're going to jump around and do a backflip, you know, and then, you know, we're going to have you do some push-ups and then you're going to come up and break dance. You know, it's like, you know, often, and I was guilty of this too. Often it's the person behind a camera making it more complicated. There are easier ways to do it.
Yeah, no, but there's kind of like a middle ground also, because your stuff seems very natural, whereas sometimes, you know, you're watching Monday Night Football and it's like, did Tom Brady just blink? You know, you're not even sure, like, is that a little video that they're showing too? You know, because it's the same idea, but so it's somewhere in between those two. It's not just totally sitting still. I tried doing this. See, and this is what I love about photography. You take and I think this is advice for anyone out there when you see a new technique. So to me, this was totally new to see how you're calling them the animated portraits, where you've got a still and you combine it with the video. And I'm like, you know what? I would love to do that. But the type of photography I do is mostly shooting down in the city, and I do a lot of light trails and stuff. I'm like, geez, this is perfect. This is it. I got to try it. So my advice is, you know, try and find something that's a new technique and apply it to what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And you'll come up with something that really could be brand new. But it was not easy. I was trying to shoot it on my Canon 6D, and it was not an easy thing to do. And it was like every time I went to go to shoot a video and then I wanted to shoot a still, it was like I think I had to change like 12 different settings to do it. And I'm like, oh, I thought it was going to be easy. And I'm on my iPhone for 30 minutes, but, you know, trying to get tips and stuff, searching things online. First off, do you have any advice for doing video or doing any of this kind of stuff when you're shooting at night? Because that was first where I started to struggle with it.
Seriously, you know, using a Canon for video.
That's my problem.
it really is, man. I mean, personally, I don't care what people use. I mean, I love my Panasonic stuff, but if Fisher Price came out with some crazy type of camera that happened to be made for 2 years old and had a little squeaker on top and it happened to do something really rad, I would go out and I would rock that Fisher Price camera, you know, because I'm all about getting what's in my head out of my head. When I was shooting with the 5D Mark II, like, see, Canon, like, they like stumbled upon video. It's like they had that feature in there by accident. Let us not forget. And then at the time, there was no manual exposure. Mm-hmm. We had to do like little tricks, like put a piece of cardboard between the contacts on the lens and the body and kind of somewhat take the lens off just a little bit, but not too much, because you don't want the lens popping off.
Yeah,
you know, and then through like people petitioning and all this stuff, like they weren't listening. And I don't know if they're still listening, but when you're using, I got to go back to say, using a mirrorless camera, it's going to make life easier because especially, and again, especially Panasonic, they are a video company that got into photography, not the other way around. And now that you're getting video and stills that are coming together, they are at least a generation ahead of everybody when it comes to video, at least. So with, if you want to do night trails with a Lumix camera, you got to put it in manual video exposure. And I don't know if all cameras will do this, but you put it in manual video exposure and you turn your shutter speed down as low as it'll go. So you want those cool light trails. Mm-hmm. Typically, even the Lumix cameras, if you're in autofocus mode, you'll get to a 30th of a second. But what I discovered with the Lumix cameras is if you go to manual focus, now you can go down to like a half a second per frame of video for your exposure. And then you get some really cool light trails while at the same time it's recording audio. So if you're doing like a nightscape and you got your camera locked down on a tripod, it's all set up. You're looking at it in the EVF or the screen. It's a live view. So you know exactly what you're getting.
Right.
You hit record and you're getting a one half second exposure. You're capturing the audio in real time, but you're getting this really cool streaks of light going by all in 4K. It is rad. It is really beautiful. One thing, and I think this is just for art in general, you know, like when we're kids, we have no fear. Like we're like,
right.
We're like, oh, I found a new sandbox. And your parents are like, yo, that's a kitty litter box. You know, we have no fear. Like you're in a grocery store and you're walking by somebody, like little kids will be like, to go up to like some old person or whatever. And be like, you got a bugger off your nose. Like little kids have no fear.
Right. But okay, we change, but, right?
Uh-huh.
But
yeah. As we get older, we start getting these fears and it's like that little voice in our head that says, you can't do that. You suck or you're not good at that or you don't look good or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
We got to just like realize that that is nothing but fear. It's not real. And we just got to go out and experiment and play. And because we're shooting with digital cameras,
right,
it may or may not look good, but that's okay. You don't have to show it to anybody if you don't want to. And what may help is if you have a few friends that you can trust that are photographers, that'll, when you show them something and you ask for constructive feedback, they're not going to be like, gee, Chris, that sucks. They're going to be like, okay, Chris, I see what you're trying to do, but have you thought about this? And, you know, and that's constructive. And you got to, so it's good to have a support system, but it's definitely good to experiment. And we need to, that's how we're going to evolve as artists.
Yeah, those are two good points. And I think the one about having the support system, an important part of that is to have people like in your town, people that you actually see, because it's right. So difficult to do online. Actually getting together with people, even if it's something, you know, I mean, I've got people in like the camera club here and we organize it, you know, every couple months we get together and say, you know, that's looking good. This isn't looking so good. But it's so hard to do that online without it just coming, you know, you sound like a jerk. So people that looks great. That looks great, right?
Yeah, because you can't really get the person's voice inflection on there. You don't know if they're like, that looks cool, .. Like, oh my God, they
right.
hate it.
Right.
You're asking your family, so what do you think they mean by this?
Yeah.
Or the worst thing is that you're sending out you're like in the ocean and you got to put in some blood out and here comes the sharks. Well, we call them trolls and are like,
yeah.
Let me tell you how to photograph stuff, even though they can't shoot to save their life. And
exactly.
Know, they're going to come out and try to rip you. And it's like, you know, even when like I get trolls that come out to me and I don't even acknowledge them anymore. I'm always like, don't feed them. Don't feed them. But I used to be like, you know what? Just show me your work. If your work rocks, then I'm going to shut up. And, you know, and you don't hear from those people anymore.
Well, that's part of it. If their stuff rocks, I mean, and that's the same thing. If you're going to get together with people, find people whose stuff you really respect. And those are the people, you know, if they're telling you to do a certain thing, you're going to trust it.
But also people who you respect as a person, because I got to say in a profession of photography, it's a fear-based profession. Any art is a fear-based profession. Okay. Cause all the while we're all thinking every time we get a job, oh my God, I'm getting paid to do this. I still think that I've been doing this for 10 years and someone calls me and I'm like, in my head, I'm like, sometimes I'm like, if it's a cool job, I'm like, oh, I'll do this for anything. I mean, I'll even come and wash your car. You know,
yeah.
Like I really want this job, but you can't be like that. Like when you're bidding, but we all have that in ourselves. You're like, wow, someone's going to pay me to do something I just love. Yes, because what you're doing has value. But
right.
There's a lot of photographers that have a lot of fears. So even though you may meet somebody who maybe they shoot full time, that doesn't mean they're going to be the best mentor. You can find really good mentors from people that do it because they love the art. you know, people that are more in tune with what you're going through as an artist.
Yeah. Well, that's tough too, because I mean, you could get two totally separate critiques. One for, okay, that's very, you know, in terms of the art, it's exactly what we're going for. And then someone else might say, yeah, it's great, but that's not going to sell. That's not going to get you clients. So it's kind of two different.
Yeah. Well, if that's your goal, some people just want to shoot just to make art.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. So find the right person for what you're trying to actually do.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So speaking of cool jobs, tell us about this one that you just did down in Mexico.
Okay, so this was pretty rad, actually. So I did a job in Guadalajara, Mexico, which is the second biggest city in Mexico. Beautiful, beautiful city, very modern city. And it was for Anheuser-Busch. So they had I don't mean Anheuser-Busch, but they were working with two agencies here in town. One of the agencies was doing their digital portion. They had called me thanks to one photographer and actually somebody that this photographer and I knew at a camera store. We both teach at this camera store. Because they were like, they're like, all of a sudden we got to find somebody that can do animated portraits. They're calling them cinemagrams. Who does cinemagrams? You mean cinemagrams, you know, cause, you know, they're learning about what it is. And so the terminology and whatnot. So they, I was getting all of a sudden, like I'm getting messages on Facebook, emails, calls, text messages, like all at the same time. This was like, I think it was December 16th. I mean, it was like right before Christmas. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, what is this? I was hoping December is going to be slow. And they're like, you know, we need somebody that can make animated portraits. It's for Anheuser-Busch. One of their brands is sponsoring a tour for a band called Maná. And Maná is the biggest Latin American rock band ever. They are huge. I mean, outside of America, and even actually in America, there's a ton of fans, but around the world, they're giant. They're like the Rolling Stones. And I had no idea who they were, because I don't really listen to Latin music unless it's like old school Cuban salsa music. I like that stuff because I lived in Miami. But I looked them up. I'm like, damn, these guys are huge. So I was like, yeah, this would be a lot of fun. And so I truthfully, they were like, we want you to know that your portion of the job was really an afterthought, and that, you know, you just got to show up with a camera and a tripod and make some really awesome photos. And I'm like, okay, so it's an afterthought. No, you know, no worries. This stuff's still really fresh, but I can't just show up with a camera and a tripod and all of a sudden like, bing, it looks amazing. Cause right. I pushed up, up, down, down, left, right, BA start, you know,
yeah.
I can't put the contra code. Into right.
It doesn't work like that way.
Yeah.
That way.
Right. So I'm like, well, is there an assistant? And they're like, no. Okay. How about a grip package? They're like, cause we're shooting at a studio. They're like, no. I'm like, what? I'm like, is there lights? No. Like, okay, so they really just wanted me the camera and a tripod, and it's just not how I roll. So I ended up bringing my Felix kit, and I actually emailed my buddies at Felix. I'm like, can I borrow some more stuff? Because I got this really cool opportunity. So they were super awesome. They sent me like their big Q500 light, which is like a giant cinema light, LED, gorgeous, lots of power. I ended up lighting this thing with like 7 lights. And so when I showed up, the photographer is shooting with 2 lights. Not that it matters, but you know, you have to have a lot of lights to light this stuff. So we were lighting a set, and the set was with all the instruments, and the band members were all kind of chilling out and doing cool stuff. And just the beer happened to be in the background. Mm-hmm. And I showed up with all these lights, and they were like, whoa, this dude's serious.
That's good. So
it was great though. Cause I ended up, you know, again, cause it was an afterthought, like I'm waiting to shoot. I shot the products and we're hanging out. And I'm like, so when am I going to shoot the band? Like, well, you're going to get maybe an hour at the end of the day. I'm like, okay, so when everyone's ready to go home, including the band, they're tired, they want to go out and get some dinner. We're going to make this work anyways. And I was supposed to shoot just like 2 band members and just some parts of their hands. But I was like, I'm thinking, okay, I came all the way to Mexico. I brought all this equipment. I'm not going back with just 2 members of the band. I'm just not doing it. And if the, you know, so I'm like, I want to say pushy, pleasantly aggressive. How's that sound?
Pleasantly aggressive.
Right. Well, I'm just excited. You know, I'm just like, oh, this is going to be so amazing. So I got the drummer. I'm like, oh, this is great. And we got him like doing animated portraits of spinning the sticks and rocking out the drums. I recorded audio. Like I did, brought some really good audio equipment because I really wanted to get the audio as well, because that's the next generation of animated portraits, is adding in some sort of sound. I'm like, just in case, going to sample everything I can and then we'll figure it out later.
Right.
So I got him. Super rad guy named Alex. And then I got some time with the bassist. And then I actually shot everything with the GH4 in the LX100 in what's called a 4K photo mode. So you can do 4K you're still shooting 8 megapixels at 4/3 crop or square, because I really wanted to play with that stuff. And I shot the bassist. And then I'm like, you know what? I'm like, I really need to get the guitarist. Where is he? Oh, he's going to the bathroom. I'm like, wait, don't go. Come over here. Come up to sit down. Because once I had it set up, I mean, again, we're shooting 30 frames a second for an animated portrait. I need maybe like 10, right?
Mm-hmm.
So once I was set up, focus was ready. Once the things are lit, it's lit. It's just a matter of moving the lights around, because it's constant light source, LEDs. You don't have to worry about it getting hot. So once the lights are in place, boom, come sit over here, sit on this Apple box. Great, go ahead and pluck your guitar, blink your eyes, shooting video. 1 minute later, boom, done. I'm like, you know what? I really need to get the singer. And I'm like, oh, the manager's like, you know, he's really not, you know, please, just hurry. They're like, please, please. I could tell they were like, she was like stressing, really sweet girl. She's like, Just hurry. He's not, you know, you can tell that he was kind of, the dude was just tired, man. He's ready to get out of there.
Yeah.
So I'm like, have a seat. And he did a couple things he didn't really want to do. And he's like, well, shoot me this way. This is the way I look best. And people that are used to being in front of the camera know how they look.
Mm-hmm.
That's why anytime you see like celebrities, they all have the same exact angle, the same look, because they know what how they're going to look best. So he knew. We got his shot. And he's like, I don't want my hair moving in the wind, because he thought that was gonna be kind of silly, but but you know what? All he had to do was turn his head just slightly for part of the movement we were doing, because we were going to do a head turn.
Mm-hmm.
And when he stopped moving his head, guess what moved? His hair. So I got that too. That one's for me, because I think it looks badass. I ended up getting that. And then once they saw them, I got the whole band together. We did two or three with the whole band together.
That's great. So they weren't so upset anymore. They were getting into it a little bit.
Oh, they totally got in. Once they saw what was happening, because I could show them when you shoot animated portraits right, when you set it up right and it's lit right, you're doing 85%, 90% of the work in camera. So I just turn around to the GH4 and I show them the screen. They're like, oh, this is great. So I got them all together. They really got into it. They were really feeling it. They could, at that point, could start to see my vision. It was becoming a little more clear. And we shot the whole band. I did some more stuff. Then like some of the people from Anheuser-Busch, like, hey, can you make one of me? I'm like, yeah, no problem. Get in front of the camera. You know, and the producer's like, you know, you got to do post-production on that. And I'm thinking, this guy don't realize that I'm using Flixel, and I'm gonna like seriously be in a couch having a beer, and I'm gonna like rock this out. So I'm like, yeah, no problem. You know, I'll spend the day doing it, no problem. And then I got some of the roadies, and so I did all this stuff, and it looks beautiful. And we ended up delivering. I ended up delivering 26 finished images in 4K. So from these animated portraits, they can make prints. They can do all sorts of cool stuff for social. And then the band's like, you know what? We want you to come to dinner with us. So they invited me, not the other photographer, which I thought was, you know, the other guy was really rad too. He's a cool guy, but whatever. They invited me. I'm like, oh, hell yeah. I'm totally going to go. And we had like this epic King's feast, like, you know, like a rock star style. And it was just like, it was the kind of dinner where it was like 30 people. And we had this whole area, this high end restaurant to ourselves. And it was the kind of meal where you don't order. It just comes. You know, and seriously, like, it was just plate after plate, and it was all just amazing. And I went home and I rocked it out. Now, mind you,
this only makes sense because you are a rock star. I mean, that makes perfect sense.
it was a ton of fun. And, you know, I love what I do, and I think it shows when I'm shooting. I'm not the type of photographer to be demanding or to get angry. I'm just like, hey, and I think my enthusiasm shows through, and people start to get it. But what I didn't say is, like, on the way there, my layover was in Houston, right? So we missed our flight.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm starting to do some work on my MacBook Pro, and the motherboard fries right there.
You need those.
Right. And I'm like, dude, I'm like, oh God, I'm going to be shooting this. I got to find somebody with the MacBook Pro so I can back up to my external drive. So I was like, I went up to the producer. I'm like, I need to borrow your laptop. And I never like asking people to borrow their laptop. That's like, can I borrow your kid to come cut my lawn? You know, it's just like,
yeah,
you got personal data on there. And he's like, oh, really? I'm like, yeah. So I grabbed his laptop to transfer the files. So I had to have a backup.
Right. Yeah. This is a crazy one. Cause you'll go, you bring extra cameras, you'll have extra lenses. Like, I'm going to bring a second laptop. It's just not what you do. Yeah.
Well, I usually bring a laptop and I'll bring an iPad. I decided I didn't want to bring the iPad. I couldn't back up to the iPhone. I sold this Western Digital drive that had a card reader built in, but the thing takes about 45 minutes per 32 gigs.
Yeah.
And I shot, I don't know, 256 gigs of data. And like, you know, so I was like, nah. But yeah, the work came out great. I think it's going to go live this week. So by the end of January, it's going to go live.
Yeah. So will we be able to see that, or is this?
Yeah. It'll be, I mean, they're Mana and Montejo. Montejo is the brand of beer. They're going to be talking about it. And then I'm going to have my versions, which are going to be less branded with Montejo graphics, but my versions will be probably on my website, probably small camera. I'll circulate them.
Oh, I can't wait. That
sounds
so cool.
I'll get you some too. So if you want to put them up on Out of Chicago.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we gotta let people know that they can go to the conference. They can be hanging out with you, that they could be learning this stuff. I mean, it's something totally that most people don't do. And it's so accessible with the right equipment and can be so easy to do.
It really is. And I got to say, you know, I don't hide anything. I'm not a photographer of secrets. So if you're curious, like, you know, if you're coming on a live shoot, you are seeing how I'm doing it. I'm not like going to hide stuff, and this is not like a demo shoot. So I'm not like practicing this ahead of time. I'm showing up. I got a model. I hope she shows up, or otherwise, Chris, you're going to have to be the model.
I'll do it.
We'll bring you like a purple mohawk wig or something. And, you know, someone's going to get in front of the camera and, you know, we're going to rock it out. And so people are going to see how I do it. And they're going to see the potential, any stumbling blocks, anything where I stumble, they'll see that. And, you know, hopefully my computer doesn't fry, you know, and
right.
That
right.
kind of stuff.
So. I'm so excited. Last thing I want to talk about is you have a new podcast just starting for the TWIP network. Mm-hmm. Tell us what that's called. What are you doing for this new podcast?
Yeah, this is great. So I talked to Frederick Van Johnson early last year, like early 2013. And, you know, Doug Kay has that show All About the Gear. And I was like, that show's great. Frederick, I want a show. Can I get a show? And he's like, I don't know. You
have
to think about it.
Oh, so you just have to ask him. Okay, good. Okay, go ahead.
Right. Yeah, very simple. So he thought about it for like a year. Then he was like, hey, I'm going to launch the TWIT network. Mm-hmm. TWIP network, excuse me. I was like the first person he wanted to be on. I'm like, yeah, sounds great. Then I got busy. And at first we were going to call it a show all about like mirrorless cameras. Then I was like, well, I'm really into small cameras. I know the GH4 is not small for Micro Four Thirds, but compared to DSLR, it's still small. So mm-hmm. it's still small. But then we're like, you know, he's like, well, what do you want to cover? We made a editorial calendar, and I realized there's things that I want to cover that affect photography, but aren't not necessarily photographic gear, like robots, automation, aerial drones, all sorts of stuff. And so we decided to kind of change the concept of the show. Instead of just about photography, it's about tech and people and the lifestyle that affects photography. So we're calling the show Emerge. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be twip.com or thisweekinphoto.com/emerge. And it'll be going live sometime in February.
That sounds awesome. So you're going to do like a whole episode just on drones. Is that the idea?
Well, or? Yeah, every month is going to have kind of like a loose theme. The first month is going to be kind of like what I'm calling the rise of the machines.
Oh, that sounds scary.
Yeah, it's crazy. So right now we got all these automated processes going on, whether it's inside the camera, say time-lapse, or getting even more crazy, putting it on an automated slider mm-hmm. with rotation control and everything that works with GPS. That's like essentially it's a robot that's doing photography. You tell the robot what to do and it does it. And then we're talking about drones. I'm working with one of my partner companies is 3D Robotics. And I got some really revealing in-depth interviews I've already done with the heads of 3D Robotics. I mean, we're getting into some deep, deep stuff. And it's super fresh.
I was looking at their site. They have some amazing looking drones and all sorts of other stuff. Yeah.
And what they got coming down the road
is
don't,
like,
don't give away anything else. You're already in trouble.
I can't tell you. I end up in court, but but I'll tell you this, what they got now is pretty rad, considering you can do stuff like connect it to a Nexus tablet, put it in your backpack or to your Android Wear, and the drone will follow you.
Yeah. So, and you're talking about doing this too on a trip, right?
Yeah. So I'm going to be doing this tour, called the Lumix Shoot Anything Tour. I'm doing it with fellow luminary Joseph Leninsky. I probably mispronounced his name. I apologize.
Joseph Leninsky, I think.
Leninsky, yeah. You know what? The problem is? I got to blame Siri, because Siri just butchers his name. And then I started thinking, like, wait, did Siri pronounce it right or did I pronounce it right? Anyways, we are going from Los Angeles up to Seattle, and we're stopping at not all the camera stores, obviously, but a lot of the big camera stores. And we're doing these workshops that are free, or nominal, because we kind of want to make sure people are committed.
Absolutely.
And I think the money will probably go back to them in a gift card or something. But we're talking about really how you can shoot anything. So Joseph's got a series of videos. As you probably know him as the aperture expert. Mm-hmm. Yep. But he's got a series of videos on lynda.com talking about macro and all sorts of cool topics. And I'm talking about the stuff I talk about, 4K and in-camera processing and drones and stuff. And we're all the way up the coast. We're going to rock it out.
But you're talking about like taking this drone over your car. What was this all about?
Yeah, so I got an Iris Plus, which is a small little drone. You can take it apart, put it in a think tank bag, which is what I'll be doing. I'm gonna hook up a GoPro to it, and then what it does is it tethers to either Android Wear or a Nexus phone or tablet. I have a Nexus 7, so basically, you tell it to follow the Nexus 7 and put the Nexus 7 in your bag and head on the road. And, you know, you can record for about maybe, you know, safely about 10 minutes. It follows you.
That's going to be awesome.
And then when you pull over, it lands. So, you know,
at least that's the idea, right?
It's gonna happen one of two ways.
Yeah. It's either gonna be really good or really bad.
Yeah. I'm sure it'll be fine. I'm actually gonna take it out tomorrow to play with it, and then I'm actually heading over to 3D Robotics again this week to do more interviews and also to be trained on it from the people that designed it. So I'm confident. But I did a photo shoot actually with 3D Robotics in Santa Cruz, because they wanted some hybrid work to go along with what they're doing. And I'm amazed at what these drones can do. You know, it's not just that they're drones, but it's a whole new area for photographers. So you have portrait photographers, landscape photographers, and now you have aerial photographers. Mm-hmm. That's a whole specialty.
Jeez, you really are living the rock star life. I'm jealous.
<Thanks. You laughs> it's not easy though. I mean, it's still work, dude.
Yeah, it's work. You're doing some fun stuff, but it's because you're willing to kind of step outside that box. You know, you're not just doing the same thing that everyone's been doing. And that's what makes it so cool to watch all the stuff you're doing.
Thanks. It's fun. It's risky. My wife is the steady Eddie. She's the level headed of us, and I'm more like the, hey, let's go do this. And she's like, wait a second.
Yeah.
And then I think it through. I'm like, yeah, you're right.
Everyone needs someone like your wife though too. So
yeah. Well, you know, good. I'm going to recommend a book. It's called Making Ideas Happen.
Making Ideas Happen. Okay.
Yeah, it's by Scott Belsky. He is the person who started the Behance Network, which is now part of Adobe. Mm-hmm. So his book talks about, okay, great. You have an idea. Everyone's got these ideas. And the first moments of the idea, a few weeks, whatever, you're in a romance period, it sounds amazing. Oh, we're going to do all this stuff. But then you got to get down to work, and then you're going to have roadblocks, and how are you going to get around those? And so if someone has big ideas, I think it's great. Think big, be reckless. But then you need to see it to completion, whether it's a success or failure. And this book will show you, guide you on how to do it.
I'm getting it. I'm getting it tonight because you're speaking right to me. I'm like the idea guy. What can I follow through on? And I'm like, you know, what if we did like this thing where we got all these famous photographers, and we'll get Julio and all these other guys, and we'll call it a conference, and we'll have people come from all over the world. And here it is. It's happening. But I think I better read the book and make sure it all goes according to plan.
Well, dude, I think you're rocking it out. I love doing the smaller shows, because the big shows are cool. But the big shows get drowned out by Canon and Nikon because they got that kind of dough. And the big shows, I hate to say it, sometimes they're all about money. And that's fine. We all got a profit in the end. I got it. But we got to keep an open mind. We got to keep our eyes on the street and seeing what's happening.
People loved it last year. People had a great time. It was small. You got to talk to so many different people and you got to talk with the presenters. Everyone got time talking to the different presenters. So it really was kind of something special.
Yeah, I'm super excited. You know, we got these two photo walks and
That's right.
So
you're doing the two live shoots, but then you're also taking people out to Wicker Park. That is going to be awesome.
Yeah, I can't wait. The street art there is amazing. There's great places to eat, and so maybe we'll all head there early and get some lunch or something. But that's going to be super cool.
Yeah, yeah. And we got, actually, I think you're doing two of them. I think one of them's totally sold out and the other one's about half sold out. So if you're listening to this and you haven't signed up, you want to go do that and get in on, that's the best part, I think, about all this is that we're limiting a lot of these things to smaller groups. And so just like you said earlier with your thing where you're going to Seattle, you know, we're charging a little bit of an extra fee to go on some of these limited photo walks, but it's going to be worth it. It's going to be you and Julio and, you know, 14 other people, and that's it. And you're going to have a great time.
It's going to be tons of fun. And I'm there, you know, and I'm there to teach, but I'm there shooting for me. So I'm bringing the stuff that works for me. I'll never bring something and say, oh, this is great when it's not. So if I'm rocking something, it's because I'm using it. I'm using it for my art and I'm using it for my profession. And, you know, sometimes I'll bring some stuff you may have not seen. And, if you got Micro Four Thirds, you know, it's easy to swap lenses. That's
nice.
For sure.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's tough when I've been on a couple of these things and the teacher is like, I'm here to help everyone else. You know, I'm not going to shoot it all myself. I didn't even bring my own stuff. And I'm always disappointed. I'm like, that was half of it. I wanted to shoot alongside you. I want to see exactly how you're doing it. So I'm excited to hear that you're going to have all your stuff and shooting too.
I'm not going to bring all my stuff.
Well, you know what I mean? You know. You're going to bring your stuff. You're going to do it. Yeah.
Yeah. For sure. There will be a red camera at some point and red tripod.
All right.
I like that stuff. So
yeah, no, this is awesome. I don't know how to explain it. I'm just so excited that you are coming this summer. I'm so excited.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, that you're here with us right now and that we were able to do this. Julio, I mean, yeah, you're the best. You're a rock star. You're the biggest rock star we're going to have. So I'm so excited.
So
yeah, absolutely.
I appreciate it. Yeah, I got to keep going for a second.
Yeah.
Because I get really inspired about where photography is today. You know, I still think of myself as an enthusiast that happens to make money shooting, you know,
I love that.
And I think that I really get excited to inspire those that do it because they love it, because, you know, photography, when you do it for fun, it ain't cheap. It ain't cheap.
That's right. That's right.
Man. I feel your pain. It ain't cheap. And, you know, and to be able to, and to have so much love for it that you're like, look, I really love creating and I want to go to out of Chicago and I want to learn from Julio and Chris and everybody else that's there, and I want to engage with these artists. I mean, it's amazing because this kind of, and what people are going to learn is something that just a few years ago didn't even exist. You know, it's like you had to go to a university or somewhere and spend thousands of dollars to get this kind of stuff. And it's like, when you're in photo school, you're talking to photographers that aren't really working photographers anymore. And here you're talking to photographers that are either working photographers or they're fine art photographers. But you're talking about people that are committed to their craft and they're practicing it.
Right. And a lot of the people that we have speaking are enthusiasts, but they are totally into it. And it shows in the work that they're doing.
Yeah. You can't put a dollar value on that. You really can't.
Right. So yeah, no, I'm so excited to have you. It's going to be a great summer. I mean, where are the places that people are going to go? You told us your website. What's the web address for your blog?
So Small Camera Big Picture is where to go. And then from there, you can link to my portfolio site. And then from there, you know, you just got to Google me and I'm all over the place.
You are.
I was on another podcast last night and I was giving a little bit of trivia. So I'll give it to you too.
All right.
If you watch Judge Judy.
Okay.
From time to time, you will see Julio on Judge Judy.
No.
For reals. For reals, I was a contestant. It's kind of like a game show. It's not like, you know, court.
Okay.
But I was on there once. Yeah, it was great. I went on there with my, I was the defendant and my assistant was the plaintiff. And it was great.
So it was totally fake. Is that what you're saying? You've given away too many things today.
I don't want to say that it's totally fake, but because I did owe him the money. But the nice, because long story short, we had a client that was a startup company. And this is during the recession. So you take what you can get. And it was a very risky shoot. Well, the startup company ran out of money. And no one was getting paid. So he was like, well, we can go on Judge Judy and they'll pay everybody. And we were like, well, that sounds like fun, you know, and you have to file in court locally, which is like $40. That's the part that's real. Okay. And the rest of it's reality TV. So it's realish, if that makes sense. But yeah, we weren't, after the show, we went out and had a beer and had some dinner and
with the judge.
No, she was ruthless. No, I'm talking about my assistant.
Yeah.
We all went out, hung out, but yeah, she was so brutal. Well, I'll have to come back on and tell you about that, but she was, man, I'm so glad that she had that podium between us because
she would have gotten you.
Dude, I think she would have kicked me right in the shins.
All right. That's awesome. Thanks for adding that. All right. So the website links are there. We'll have it all in the show notes. Anything else you want to tell us?
No, I guess I'll save more for next time. But I always have interesting adventures I could share.
I love it. I can't wait, and I can't wait to hear the new podcast coming out too. So
thanks.
That's going to be great.
Appreciate it.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Julio Shorio. You can come hang out with him this summer. So talk to you later. Thanks, Julio.
Thank you.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but there's something about Julio that just gets me really excited about that type of photography. I know that Panasonic picked the right person to have on that team because I'm looking at the GH4, I'm looking at some other cool cameras and really looking into like this 4K and all that. And it's all because Julio is just super inspiring. And that's what we've got at our conferences here is we've got these people, they're going to teach you what to do. But what I think is, to me, the most exciting part is that you're inspired to do a type of photography that maybe you've never done before. So whether that might be street photography or shooting the city or this hybrid photography, it may be something new to you, but you're going to learn how to do it. You're going to learn it from one of the best in the world. And you got all sorts of different choices at the conference. So I'm going to give you a little advertisement real quick here. Seriously, we have amazing people at the conference this year. The conference is June 26th through the 28th. Actually, we added shows, new shows added. It's going to be June 25th through the 28th. So that last weekend in June. And we have Brian Peterson, Valerie Jardin, Marie Lagneau, Thomas Luthard, Elia Locardi, Mike Motz. We have over 30 presenters that are going to be there. They're doing street photography. They're doing landscape photography, cityscape photography. They're doing everything, anything you'd want to do. And it's right in the heart of Chicago. You come to Chicago, you get a hotel room, you're going to learn some amazing stuff. And afterward, you go out and you shoot with the photographers on the streets of Chicago. It is going to be an amazing weekend. Last year was great. This year we've expanded all the way to 4 days now. It's going to be special. You want to be involved. So go to Out of Chicago. You'll see all the links there. Or go to outofchicago.com/conference and you'll get to sign up for it right there. So I hope you do. Thank you so much to Julio Shorio. That guy, like I said, a rock star and really makes me want to go out and get that GH4. You never know. So I'm excited to go shoot some 4K and to do some hybrid photography. And I'm excited to see his class. And I hope to see you there as well this summer. So thank you, Julio. Thank you, guys. And we will see you next week. Oh, I keep saying that, but then sometimes I don't come back for like 5 months or something. All right. Well, we'll see you next time. Actually, it might be really, really soon. See you guys.